Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 48 degrees and overcast. Today's Wednesday, July 11th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Bill Payden is the newest member of the Sitka Assembly. He was appointed during last night's regular meeting to fill the vacancy left by Terry Blake's resignation. Blake and his family are moving to Texas. Payden was among six people interested in the seat. Also on the list, Matt Hunter, Ryan Haig, Michelle Putz, Jack Osment, and Sherry Aitken. There was no public testimony on who should fill the vacancy, and even assembly members were limited in their comments. Tor Christensen, Pete Esquiro, and Cheryl Westover all expressed support for Payden. Mim McConnell and Phyllis Hackett supported Matt Hunter. But with the table leaning toward Payden, McConnell said she would join the majority and vote for him too. She said it didn't make sense to draw out the process. Mike Reif was absent. Payden is a retired commercial fisherman who considers himself a conservative. He says he's concerned about a drop-off in cruise ship traffic and its result on sales taxes. He also says he feels the city needs to back off on its spending and start saving some money. He served one term on the assembly about 10 years ago. The appointment lasts until October, when the seat will appear on the municipal ballot. Payden told KCAW that he does not plan to run for the seat. He and his wife will move to their home in Arizona once a candidate has been elected to complete the term. Electric rates are changing in Sitka. The assembly last night gave final approval to a new rate structure. The changes could actually decrease monthly bills for mid-level residential users, but those who use little power will see an increase because of a boost in the minimum bill amount. And residential customers who use a lot of power will see major increases, perhaps to the tune of hundreds of dollars per month. The assembly also removed alcohol and tobacco from the senior citizen sales tax exemption. Assembly members said they were made aware that alcohol and tobacco were exempt earlier this year when attempting to make other changes to the tax. Beginning October 1st, everyone in Sitka will pay tax on alcohol and tobacco. A motor vehicle tax cruising toward approval 2 weeks ago came to a screeching halt last night. The Sitka Assembly postponed the idea until September. A committee of citizens and assembly members will look at the issue between now and then. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
The tax would have charged $200 for passenger cars every 2 years. The fee would have been $400 for commercial vehicles, $100 for trailers, and $50 for motorcycles. The idea was to use the money to help fund repairs and maintenance to Sitka's roadways. But residents who showed up at the assembly meeting said that they did not like it. Matt Donahoe talked about his son's household.
The nut for them for 2 years, the increase in taxes is nearly $1,000.
That includes a truck that doesn't go anywhere but has a commercial kitchen in it, along with two pickup trucks, a motorcycle, and a boat trailer.
Most of these vehicles are not used much. It seems like it should be, at least the ones with internal combustion engines, should be based on fuel consumption.
Donahoe was not alone in preferring a fuel tax. Here's Matt Hunter.
I did some brainstorming, and I think that would be much more equitable. Heavy trucks cause more damage, but they use more fuel, so they'd pay more. And lighter cars wouldn't cause as much damage to the roads. They'd pay less because they have better fuel efficiency. Also, if you drive more, you pay more. The more you wear down the roads, the more you should pay.
Dave Durham said a 5-ton commercial truck would be in the same category as a pickup used in a business. But of course, the damage to the roads is different between the two. Michelle Putz said the tax does not incentivize less road use. Brady Fink said he's a car hobbyist and didn't think it would be fair to be taxed for vehicles he doesn't drive. And Sherry Aitken told the assembly that a large burden would fall on local businesses with commercial vehicles, especially those that only operate them seasonally. So the assembly put on the brakes.
So I move to table this ordinance to the first meeting in September.
Tor Christensen there. In the end, the assembly went along with that plan, but not before discussing some of its options. A fuel tax, Christensen said, is not among them, apparently, because of the state.
They're kind of protective of that right to tax fuel. I mean, I think we can do it, but we'd have to jump through some real hoops to do it.
Municipal attorney Teresa Hillhouse clarified. She said that the state lets municipalities tax only property and sales. Various cities have tried to call a fuel tax a fee of some sort, but the state pays close attention to it and makes it difficult to pull off. Instead, she said Alaska gives back a percentage of the fuel tax it collects to cities as revenue sharing. It's compensation for preempting the cities from levying the tax themselves. What to do about this measure, the extra tax on motor vehicles, will be sorted out by a committee. It consists of Assemblymembers Mim McConnell, Phyllis Hackett, and Bill Payden, along with citizens Michelle Putz, Matt Hunter, and Sherry Aitken. The item will appear again on the Assembly agenda in early September. For Raven News, I'm Ed Ronco.
The Sitka Assembly did weigh in last night on the U.S. Constitution. Specifically, the Assembly endorsed a resolution saying only citizens have constitutional rights, not corporations. The resolution was sponsored by Assemblymembers Mim McConnell and Mike Reif. McConnell said she was approached by the local activist group Alaskans Against the Corporate Abuse of Power. The resolution condemns a 2010 Supreme Court ruling in Citizens United, which said political spending is speech protected by the First Amendment. The protection extended to corporations and unions. Critics of the ruling feel it gave corporations too much power, especially in the high-stakes, high-financed world of electoral politics.
I'm tired of feeling stuck and ineffectual and seeing things happening in Congress that are wrong, that are hurting people here on the local level. We're the ones that are cleaning up the mess here in our community because of decisions that are made in Washington, D.C. on both sides of the spectrum. And this is our chance to say, no, enough. It's got to change. And this is something I can do here tonight.
Mayor Cheryl Westover had questions. Shouldn't the media and unions be included among corporations? Don't they shape the national conversation just as much? Libby Stortz, one of the resolution's proponents, said she was in favor of anything that said only individuals have constitutional rights.
We're not saying that unions should have all of the rights and corporations shouldn't have any of the rights. We're saying only people should have rights under the Constitution. That's how the Constitution was written. I'm pro-union personally, but that doesn't matter because unions are also entities made of people. They are not people themselves.
In passing the measure, Sitka joins a host of other communities across the nation. The website of the organization Move to Amend lists 137 communities that have passed similar resolutions and another 47 that are considering the measure. The list includes communities as large as Seattle or Tucson and as small as Chester, Vermont, population 3,000. You can read Sitka's resolution. It's linked on our website, kcaw.org. Once there, you can also link to other assembly-related information that includes details on new electric rates and the motor vehicle tax that is now on hold. Broadcasters in the world's newest country are hoping a medium perfected in Alaska can help introduce community-based journalism in the region. Troy Edelaine is a former Sitka resident who now works for the World Bank. Over the past year, while he was with the U.S. Agency for International Development, Edelaine helped organize and fund a regional radio service in South Sudan in Central Africa. Edelaine says he had community radio stations in Alaska in mind as he created the new service. South Sudan was established only last year after a peace deal ended years of civil war with the North. During the war, USAID delivered news and civic education via shortwave radio. Once peace came, USAID sent Troy Edelaine to the new station's capital, Juba, to introduce a more traditional form of media.
So I designed a program which involved setting up a what we refer to as a learner's FM radio station. It's 1 kilowatt in Juba, because the country essentially had no media education whatsoever.
Learner's radio station? That may sound familiar to communities in the Alaska Public Radio Network. The system has a well-deserved reputation for training reporters. This looked like the shortest path to success for Edelaine.
They had a sort of a fledgling university, but didn't have a program, and so there were no journalists to sort of take over the role of the media, you know, performing the role of media in South Sudan. So the idea was that we needed both the journalistic activities to take place right away and for there to be an opportunity for journalists to learn on the job.
Edelaine won approval from USAID to create a broadcasting organization and build a small radio station. His role ended at that point, but not the influence of Alaska media. Someone had to get the ball rolling.
Just by chance, the person that the organization hired to do the work was John Newstrom.
That's John Newstrom, who began his career as news director at KCAW in Sitka over two decades ago. Edelin knew of Newstrom from growing up in Sitka, of course, but the two had also worked distantly for the same non-governmental organization, Internews. Edelin in Tajikistan and Newstrom in Afghanistan, both setting up radio stations. Edelin calls Newstrom's selection to head Juba's new station a coincidence, but in reality, the pool of people with the skills to launch a community broadcaster from scratch is limited. Edelin says Newstrom wasted no time in bringing in additional help.
I think within the past 6 months or so, John is brought in as a consultant into South Sudan, Mr. Rich McClear.
That's Rich McClear, who was the founder and first general manager at KTOO in Juneau, and later a founder and first general manager at KCAW in Sitka, where he worked for 14 years.
So he had three sort of Sitkans very much influencing the future of the media development in South Sudan.
Local journalism is critical to community broadcasting, but it's not everything. Edelin says listening to KCAW, or Raven Radio, over the years helped shape his vision for the project in the South Sudan.
Over the years of growing up here, you just saw a lot of creativity coming into Raven Radio. And when we would talk about doing, for example, a travel program without traveling, when Barb Morris would just be connected to the community such that she knew someone had been somewhere interesting and bring them in, I would often use that as an example of what you can do with community media.
When you were working for USAID and you set this up, you had Raven Radio kind of pictured in your mind?
Absolutely, yeah.
Troy Edelin was in Sitka to celebrate both his 20th high school reunion and his father's 75th birthday. Dan Edelin is a founding board member of KCAW. Troy's next assignment will be in Tbilisi in the Republic of Georgia, where he's moving with his wife and daughter. You can hear extended audio of this interview at our website, kcaw.org.